What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rise and shine, sports investors. It is another beautiful day in the neighborhood. Friday, October 9th. Let's cock and doodle do it. This is the early line right here on Sports Grid, giving you the edge. I'm Dane Martinez, and as always, I got my main man, Kevin Walsh, burning the candle at both ends, trying to give you all the information you need to make it a profitable day, and we will try to put the fun and functional sports content at the same time. And Kev, I remember yesterday asking you, how many games would we have in baseball today? Because a lot of teams were on the precipice of closing it out. And guess what? All of the teams that were favored to do so did so. And with that, we congratulate the Atlanta Braves and the Los Angeles Dodgers for moving on to the NLCS. The Braves get it done in shutout fashion. The Dodgers bring their bats, and they will be facing off against each other in the NLCS, which I think is going to be really, really good, Kev. And it gets going. I believe on Monday will be game one. And they're going, you know, they're going seven in a row if needed, starting on Monday, Braves and Dodgers. But I think ultimately the two best teams in the National League will be fighting for the pennant.
Yeah, my optimism of there still being four games on the board today right. did not pay off. It did not. I was hopeful.
Your boy Sixto, huh?
Yeah, oh, poor Sixto. It's all right. Good experience. Get it under the belt. Just you wait.
That's right.
Just you wait. Look, give the Braves credit, man. I don't care what anybody says. Going up against the Miami Marlins, they sent the Cubs pack in with a series at Wrigley. And, you know, we were asking ourselves, well, what does Kyle Wright look like? Now, Kyle Wright got to pitch the lead for a decent portion of that game because this Braves lineup is mashing right now. Look good. You know, they shut the Marlins out back-to-back days. As far as the Dodgers go, look, man, I can't believe the way that series played out. In this way that every single game, the Padres took a lead, and I sat there and I went, oh, I think this might be the Padres game. And every single game, they didn't have the lead the next half inning. I mean, this Dodgers team, and then they really poured it on yesterday. And sure. I have to... You know, you have to tip your cap, man. They've been the best team in baseball all year. Far from a pushover opponent waiting for them on the other side in the Braves. But, Dana, right. A reasonable person could argue that they just played the second best team in the National League. Mm-hmm. So, and again, I don't say that as a slight to the Braves, and I think Atlanta Braves fans, and I'm sure actually just baseball fans might disagree with that. But, right, record-wise, and I just think this is a Dodgers team, man. They're loaded from top to bottom, and you know, right now you go to the World Series board, they're plus 165 to win the World Series. I mean, it's easy to understand why.
Oh, it absolutely is. I'm going to tell you right now, I am going to be interested in the Atlanta Braves in the NLCS at value if it is too big of a plus number, and we will wait for that one. You know, when I look at the Padres, because you're right, they weren't a pushover, right? And each it was a 3-0 sweep, but each individual game, the Padres were kind of there, right? At one point, we're live. It almost makes me feel kind of, Kev, like the Oakland A's, right? Who ultimately, they got banged out as well, but they didn't go lightly, man, right? They were fighting in it the entire time. And similar to how I believe the arrow is pointing up for the Padres, the arrow is pointing up for the Marlins, the A's are in the same boat as we welcome in our radio audience from around the country. Big shout out to the radio affiliates. This is the Early Line giving you the edge, but the Houston Astros get the job done as well, 11-6. And now, Kev, remember what you said about if there's a rest disparity in any of these LCSs? Well, it's not huge, but the Astros will be there waiting with an opportunity to organize their rotation, to give their bullpen a rest, to bang on garbage cans or whatever they need to do. And the Yankees and the Rays will continue in a deciding game 5 tonight. What do you think about the Yankees and Rays? It's interesting that we were giving Aaron Boone so much shade for being cute. Well, here we are, though, now, right? Because Gleyber Day goes yards at the top of the warehouse in left field, and the bullpen formula worked yesterday. I was wondering, should Britton go for one? Should Britton go for two? Should we, now that they've scored an extra run, should they risk going to Ottavino in the ninth? But I still believe the Yankees are set up the way they want. They're going to run out Garrett Cole tonight, and I believe that they're going to go all hands on deck, but the only two hands they probably need are Britton and Chapman. But you got to think the task here is for the very rich Garrett Cole, who has been paid a lot of money for this kind of start, right? When the Yankees need to win and him on the hill, the confidence that is inspired by having that man on the hill for us. Well, do you have confidence with that man on the hill for us tonight, Kev?
I do. Okay. And oddly, I don't really find him being on the mound the story. I am perplexed that Glasnow is getting this ball.
As opposed to Snell?
Can't believe this move. I understand when you go back and, you know, you look through the game log, right? Glasnow was more successful against this Yankees lineup, right? Blake Snell went out there, 5 innings of work, 6 hits, 4 earned, 4 Ks, right? You compare that to Tyler's work, and he was 5 strong, only 3 hits, 4 earned, 10 strikeouts, and it was really only Stanton. But shorter rest, this Yankees lineup, with still a quality pitcher in Snell as your alternative?
Right.
I don't know. I don't like that move if I were a Rays fan and or backer.
All right, fair enough. When we come back on the other side of the break, I'll give you what my theory is behind it and see if it matters for you. We'll come on back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Right here to the early line, Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh putting the fun in functional sports content right here on the early line. And Kev, we're talking here still about Yanks, Rays, Game 5. And you mentioned the idea that they go back to Glasnow. I fundamentally believe, like, this is the Rays. They did the opener and all that. What if it's in Kevin Cash's game plan right off the bat, like right now, saying, hey, we're going Glasnow for three, then Snell for three, then the bullpen. And adding to that, maybe of the two, they just prefer Glasnow out the gate, right? Because they want to go hard and then movement or something like that. I think that could be part of Kevin Cash's plan in the same way, whether you liked it or not. It was part of Boone's plan to go Devy and then Hap because of the kind of matchup lefty-righty. Maybe that's part of the cards because ultimately this is all hands on deck. So I'd be willing to bet we see Glasnow and Snell tonight.
I agree. I think it would be a big, big, big monster number of minus, right, of yes, no, will we see Blake Snell to the yes.
Right.
But I think if you would have asked me 24 hours ago, right, I would have told you there's a big minus number next to no on seeing Glasnow in this game, okay?
Right.
And we've seen, at the end of the day, right, the J.A. Happ thing was terrible right away. Right away, didn't work out. And boy, am I not trying to throw this Yankees lineup a guy who they've seen. By the way, like, this is the nature of this round, of every team now having seen each other, right? That was what was so different from round one.
Right.
Right? All divisional rivals, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Snell had two starts against the Yanks during the regular season. One good, one bad, albeit the both of them somewhat short. Because he's really been on a short leash all year long due to pitch count. Glasnow, two starts against the Yanks during the regular season. One, real good. Two hit baseball, no earned. One, real bad. 2 2/3, didn't get into the, like, didn't get three innings of work in. Yanks hit him up. So it's not like, because sometimes we've seen this in the postseason where just one pitcher has one lineup's number, right? But that's not the case with Glasnow. So, he pitched Tuesday. Like,
this would be his
Tuesday.
This would be his throw day. Like, yeah, I hear you.
I'm just, like, that's
it. But it's game five, you know?
Man, to see this Yankees lineup, like, the Dane, the total is seven, okay?
It is.
And
yeah.
I understand, like, closeout game. And I'm not sure I want to blindly bet the over. Because honestly, I think Gerrit Cole might have a dominant performance.
That's it. That's right.
But, I mean, the Yankees team total, I don't, it's Blake Snell. It's not like it's Glasnow coming in for just all
that. I hear you.
Like, it's a guy that's got a Cy Young under his belt. And this is why it's important to get in front of it. Maybe it works out. I hate the move. Before we see how it plays out.
So you are officially first guessing, and that is noted. What I will also say, though, is it would be short rest for Blake Snell also, okay?
Sure.
It would be one day short of normal rest, right? So that's why I think we're not seeing the full complement of either of these guys. Tampa's going to piece it together, in my opinion. And so then, for me, it's just a sequencing thing, right? So I don't feel as big of about it as you do because it is short rest for Snell. Also, they're going to cobble it together. And to be quite honest, the most important pitcher on that field in San Diego tonight is going to be Gerrit Cole regardless, right? If he does what he is paid to do, then I don't think it matters because if Tampa can't score, then Tampa can't win. But we will see who steps up to see the Astros in the ALCS. And that game one, I believe, will take place on Sunday. Remember, the championship series will also be 7 days in a row. So all that roster management will be key. But Kev, we may crown an NBA. Oh, wait. Actually, before we go there, I did want to ask you, because you have been great in these short series, right? Thinking about not only the game, but about how you can combine the game and either the series price or a futures price together for leverage in, like, sports investing 201. And now you have an ability to do that also, just not with, like, the whole series price, but looking for this game five for the Yanks and Rays, and then onto the AL pennant, right?
Yeah, so this is the thing. Hopefully there's folks watching at home that have basically the Yankees to win this game at plus 210. Because that's what we did yesterday. We took them in the series price because that's what they were to come back and wins game 4 and 5. And that's one of the things I've really seen here with the baseball market because, you know, Dane, you go through this Yankees Heat series, or excuse me, rather, the Lakers Heat series, like, they're going to send out the same rosters. So the numbers don't right. move all that much. But because of the nature of baseball with pitching matchups, numbers do move a lot game to game, and it provides us opportunity, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we have the Yanks at plus 210. Now, that means with the Rays being a plus 132 underdog, you can hedge out, lock in profit, right? Like a $100 player can have their basement be, I win $32. And one of the things right. I've always heard Scott Wetzel say, he goes, if the worst case
can't
scenario
go broke, make it a profit.
Win money, exactly. If yeah. that's the worst case scenario, yeah. I don't know if you it. Should be passing that up. So an understandable point, but in the league outright market, okay? Because, Dane, I think, you know, between the two of us, we'll talk these things out. We can usually find a strong answer, right? Because they have to give the Astros credence for already being in the
pennant. For being there, right.
Right? For being in that ALCS, they are plus 155. The Yankees are your favorites. They're favored to win the game, so they're a plus 135. The Rays are plus 290. I think the Rays are favored over the Astros if they then go to the best of seven ALCS. Mm-hmm. So to me, the question is, if I wanted to hedge on my Yankees plus 210 bet to win tonight's game, do I do it for what is a slimmer plus 134 number, or do I come around on the Rays at plus 290 to win a series that if they're there in – I would expect them to win, and I know I'm getting the absolute best of the number at.
Yeah, I like when you're doing it. My knee-jerk reaction would be the latter, as long as you acknowledge the inherent risk involved of the Houston Astros just beating the Rays in the ALCS. It seemed similar to me, and you know I was so bought into this, Kev. It's similar to me as when the Miami Heat were standing in the Eastern Conference Finals, and then you had Boston and Toronto still there, right? And there were three options still for the Eastern Conference. In the same way right now, there were three options for the American League pennant. One of them who's already standing there in that round waiting, and the other two who are kind of nip and tuck against each other with deciding games. It reminds me of that three-horse race that you had in a time in the Eastern Conference, the Heat already there and as the favorite because they were already there, right? And then still the opportunity of Boston and Toronto. I think you're in a similar place as you are right now with the Yankees and Rays, but that would be a way to do it as long as you acknowledge it's a little bit more complex than that, and you do have some liability out there in the future. Mm-hmm.
And I just want to add, for those out there who maybe don't have the Yankees on the series price, like if you wanted to back the Yankees tonight, you're like, I really like Gerrit Cole. I think he gets the job done. I think this team's going to the World Series. Don't be scared of hitting them at plus 135. They will be a minus number in the next round if they are in the next round. So don't be scared to leave that, like, to hit that number. Because, again, if you're a typical unit, you want to split it up 70-30 tonight's baseball game and then get to the next run. I think that's a good way to play it. You will feel happy about yourself if you not only, say, get a Yankees win tonight, but you show up to the next round with a plus 135 in your pocket in a series that they're going to be minus 150-ish, I would probably say, to win.
I hear that. The last thing I'll say on this, and then we'll transition to the NBA Finals when we come back on the other side of the break, is, you know, Kevin's telling you don't be afraid of this way to play it. I'm going to tell you, if you like the Yankees and Gerrit Cole, don't be afraid of the run line at plus 118 either, Kev. Hey, Kev, remember when we were talking about, like, you were like, hey, all four series will have games today, and that wasn't the case? Yeah? Go tell me how many of those games yesterday were one-run games. Squadoosh. And quite frankly, if Gerrit Cole does what I think he will do today, I think the Yankees win by more than a run. So when we come back, we will talk about Game 5 of the NBA Finals. But until then, we have to get caught up on all the news and notes, and that's what we do with the Sports Grid News Update. Come on right back, though, for more Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Welcome back, everybody, right here to the Early Line, giving you the edge on Sports Grid. We welcome back all of our radio affiliates across the land as well. Dane Martinez and the candle burner, Kevin Walsh. Hey, Kev, we got game five of the NBA Finals, and many people believe it could be the last game of the NBA season. I mean, the Lakers are minus 320 tonight to hoist the Larry O'Brien Trophy. What we try to do here, though, Kev, is get the edge, right? So I want to ask you a question because I want to try to find the edge in what I think is going to happen in this game. If the Lakers are winning, a lot of times what happens in a closeout game in like the fourth quarter, when it becomes obvious to everybody, right? The last 10 minutes can become something more of a coronation, right? A celebration, an idea where like with 3 minutes left, they may purposely take, you know, Bam Adebayo ceremoniously off the court. And then these guys, right? Like if it becomes known, let's say there's an 11 point working margin with 4 minutes left to go, you know, that sort of thing. In that scenario, how would you play anything to get ahead of it, right? Like a live game under? You know, like if it is kind of becoming that vibe, you know, that, hey, Lakers are 5 minutes away from winning the title. We see the guys come out with the box of shirts and hats, you know, that sort of stuff, right? When that happens, I believe, tell me if I'm crazy, I believe that creates an opportunity in-game live. I believe that creates an opportunity to make some money once we get to that stage. And I kind of do believe the last 5 or 6 minutes of the game could be like that. A, do you agree? B, if so, are there any ways to, you know, get an edge?
So I think it's tough to say, will these teams empty it out? Sure. Does Miami feel like a team, though, that is going to tap out early? No.
No.
Right?
No.
So I'm not sure how much I want to go to that. My question, Dane, is,
okay,
before we fully break into it, how much, if at all, do you value the fact that we have a 3-game sample size of Lakers in the 5th game of a series with the opportunity to close, and the fact that they've closed each time, and kind of going through the overs, the covers, the performances of the individuals in those games?
I don't put a huge amount of stock in it because every team was different. Every team posed its own challenges. Every team is, you know, I think it's more of an individual trial. I think, let's put it this way, I'd put more stock into what happened against the Heat in game 3 and 4 than what happened in a game 5 against Denver or Portland or Houston.
I think that's, I mean, yeah, you should obviously care more about what they do against Miami. I won't disagree.
Right, yeah, so I'm not worried about like the game, their game 5 history per se.
But I do value players' mentalities, and they've had the opportunity to close out three times in this exact spot, and they've done just that. So just to
Didn't Denver get the game?
No, that was done in five.
Okay.
That was done in five. So if you just take it for what it is, against Portland, the game goes over. The Lakers don't cover because it was an outrageous 13.5 number because Damian Lillard did not play. Against the Rockets, the Lakers cover. They win the game monsterly. Rockets offense, though, didn't show up at all. They scored 96 points. The game just misses the total. The Lakers team total, though, did hit. Then against Denver, Lakers cover, and the game goes over the number. Third straight game, Lakers team totals hit. So it's a 2-1 to the over, 2-1 Lakers cover, and the Lakers team total hasn't lost yet. And the one other thing I'll tell you, in these closeout games, LeBron is averaging 34-12-9. 34-12-9. So,
sounds impressive.
You want a best bet? Points, rebounds, assists on the King going into the closeout game. Like, of all of the things that you can play here tonight, that's the one that I fully expect to come in. Because also, Dane, I do believe that Finals MVP is up in the air right now. The book doesn't think it is. LeBron's a minus 800. And I ultimately think right now he is the leader. But if Anthony Davis went out there and outplayed
37-15,
it's not an inconceivable outcome for him to win the Finals MVP. So before we even do side and total in the game, the points, rebounds, assists number for LeBron, no matter where it is, right, I think you play that over.
All right, fair enough. So we're riding LeBron with the closeout Mamba mentality. They're wearing the Mamba jerseys, right?
That's right.
And LeBron knows that he's got his opportunity, right? And this, you know, would be kind of the cherry on top, right? His third franchise winning it all, you know, and you have said that at this point, LeBron is all about the legacy. To be quite honest, what I'm interested to see is, like, how are they going to organize a parade in Los Angeles in a pandemic? But that's a different story for a different day. You're right. I can see LeBron, you know, kind of putting his foot on the neck, putting the foot on the gas pedal, whatever saying you want. But let's go then. Two, because you've given the props, you know, LeBron and maybe AD with a monster effort being live in that market. All those markets about, like, the leading points, rebounds, assists getter are pretty much down at this point.
Yeah.
So what's left is the side and the total. Let's talk about it. Seven is the point spread. Talk to me about the heart of the champion, the pride of the Heat, to hang in there and stay within the number. And then the total, I believe I saw it at 216, if that is correct. And and talk to me about this, again, in the context of if things get away from them at the very end. Does that, you think, mean to, like, all-star game going back and forth, the bench coming out? Or, like, what does that mean for the total?
Yeah, so the total is really interesting. Four games into the series, and it's played under in three of them. Here we are tonight, and it's got to be all hands on deck, right? I mean, it has to be from, but does that mean defense, right? I mean, does that mean the best defensive effort that both of these teams have had? Last game, 102-96. I mean, when you don't hit 200 points, though, like, I would be cautious here of trying to play another under. Because from what we've seen with the Lakers, the fact that their team total has gone over in all three closeout games, right? And I think, you know, it's really interesting, Dane, the more I think kind of about the question you're posing, it makes me think about the over, because I don't think Miami taps. I don't think Miami puts, you know, Myers Leonard into the game for Bam Adebayo until they know the game is over.
Here's the other problem, though, with the over, right? Let's say Miami's down seven, the spread, right? Mid fourth quarter, right? Are they just starting to take bad looks at three to force their way back in and ultimately not score points? Like, are they, is Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero pulling up because they're going to have to do something dramatic to get back in? And those are ultimately bad low percentage shots.
You know what? I almost would say the Heat covering this game is correlated to the under, right?
Yep.
Them keeping this thing tight,
right? I agree with you.
Doesn't lead to garbage time stuff like that.
I agree with you.
Where if the Lakers are kind of running away with it, then offense might come fast and easy.
Then the coronation happens, right?
Because who cares anymore, right?
Yeah, it becomes an all-star game.
Yeah,
right.
That's.
I'm worried about how this forks. Like you said, there's the one thing where Miami's battling. This is a 4-point game the entire time, right?
Yeah.
In the other universe, whether it's with 8 minutes left, 5 minutes left, or 3 minutes left, if the outcome becomes no longer in doubt, I worry about having a bet on a side or a total or some stuff when the last 3 or 4 minutes of this game is coronation time. Okay, mm-hmm. That is my fear on some of these, which is why, to be quite honest, I may, if I had to bet something, go into that prop market, go into the LeBron stuff, because I think there's a lot of wild cards about how the end of this game could go as we crown a champion. If there's boxes of champion t-shirts and hats being brought out, right, and you start to see LeBron dancing on the sidelines and that sort of stuff, the mm-hmm. last 4 minutes of the game could be compromised in a way that I wouldn't want to have action on anything that's happening going on in that last couple of minutes. That's my fear. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but there is a path to that happening. You know, you just like you say, you don't want to bet on something, where like a college bowl game, right? Where you don't know how the motivation is going to be at the very end or something like that. I'm worried about that. Coming into play in this one. I might lean under on this one, but we'll see. Maybe LeBron is actually the best thing to go. What else you got on this one before? Because, Kev, it's a football Friday. We got plenty to discuss in football. What you got, though?
I will say on the side, and I know people are not going to want to hear this, don't play this. I don't think you play this number. This is going to sound so ridiculous, but, right? So you have two definitive covers. The Lakers in game one, right? They housed Miami. And it was the shortest number of the series because Adebayo and Dragic entered the game healthy, right? Then you had the Heat's outright victory. Of course, they covered the number by a zillion because they were dogs. You then had, we all saw it last, Tyler Hero's garbage time three
goes
from Lakers cover to Heat cover. And it's not
right,
the
that's
game
what I'm saying.
The series. It's not the only game. Kelly Olynyk had, with 15 seconds left, hit a layup to where the closing number was 10 and a hook and sent it down to 10. But depending when you got it, you could have lost the other side of this number. Like, this is a number that can
I'm worried about any part of any game where it may not be fidelity to what a normal game is supposed to look like. And there's the chance that the end of tonight's game looks like that, Kev. When we
just
come back, though,
LeBron
we
props.
Do.
It's gonna
take the LeBron props. I'm with you, bro. He's the king. He wants his legacy. He wants to get coronated. When we come back, I'm gonna ask you which was crazier yesterday in sports: someone putting up two fingers or someone putting up four fingers? We'll talk about it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, welcome back in, everybody. Right here onto the early line, Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh. And Kev, I got into the break talking about holding up fingers, you know, because you're plugged in. I thought it was ridiculous, A, that Zach Greinke is literally like telling people what pitch is coming. He's not tipping his pitches. He's explicitly and purposely tipping his pitches, being like, yo, here comes the number two.
To laser
and then it gets
remote.
Deposited. And then it gets deposited over the wall. So I thought that would be the biggest, like, how many fingers am I holding up yesterday in the sports world? But I don't know that it was after Thursday Night Football, where the GOAT decided to not realize how many downs he had left in a kind of, you know, last minute attempt to come back. That is uneventful. That does not get the job done. And again, Kev, the home dogs on Thursday Sunday night football, get the job done and win outright. The Chicago Bears win 20-19. What was your biggest takeaway from this one? I know the Bucs were compromised a little bit. Ronald Jones ran well. On the Bears side, though, they got the job done, but was it impressive to you? Because to me, the biggest key of this game is that the Bucs were making Ryan suck up field goals instead of putting the ball in the end zone.
So there are a lot of important things that come out of this game.
Okay.
But he didn't know the down and distance.
Yes. Like, yes. Like, very J.R. Smith moment.
I still can't believe it. Like I said to you last, I was on in-game live and I almost couldn't do my job anymore. Because my job is to talk, and I was speechless. Right. And I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anyone says. He didn't know. He was not trying to trick him to get another down.
No.
He wasn't playing stupid.
No.
It was 4th and 6, and he took a shot down the field to a covered cam break. There were guys underneath open. He was not pressured when he got rid of that football. He has been doing this way too long to think that's the throw on 4th and 6. Way too long. I don't know how to wrap my head around. Like, Dan, if Justin Herbert did that, right?
If Joe Burrow did that. If Dwayne Haskins did that, what would be the case, Kev?
This is my thing, right? Like, even if the youngest guys, like if Tua came in this weekend and did that, where nobody's like, the rook man happened. No, doesn't happen. You need to know. And it's the most veteran quarterback in the league. Like, I still can't wrap my head around it. And they lost this game 1,000 ways before that moment. But Dan, I will tell you this, okay? Because he did it in this game. When people mess up, Brady, he's done it so long now. He likes to hold people accountable.
He likes to yell at everybody.
He literally
likes to yell at everybody.
Right?
Yep.
But like that's kind of, I guess, the way he goes about it. Fine.
Right.
But now you're in a new environment, okay? And it doesn't work for everybody. So in week 9, the next time someone runs the wrong route and he rips into them or someone misses a block, and then they go, someone subtly throws up 4. Someone says, you didn't even know the down and distance on the play, I bet. Like, it lingers, and it makes me uncomfortable. I couldn't have been higher on the Bucs going into that game, in the middle of that game.
Right.
I felt uneasy last night after that game. That, you try not to overreact to any one game. That is the game of all that we've played to this point that I hear myself, I'm like, are you overreacting? I'm battling, as I'm giving my opinion, I'm like, you're overreacting. I don't know if you're overreacting. That you can't lose that game. You can't lose that game. They were up 13-0. They were up 13-0. They didn't score a touchdown after the first quarter.
That's what I was saying. The Cairo Santos field goals, they got to convert one of those trips into 7, right? And here's the thing. First of all, will there be a ton of like in college football, right? When we go to the fourth quarter, everyone and their mother's holding up 4 fingers. I wonder what memes and social media will do with that and Tom Brady. But here's the thing. We're talking about the Bucs here. Bears won the game, and the Bears are 4-1, and your boy Nicky Foles gets a win for the Bears. And I fear that we're going to be doing this all the time because we don't necessarily buy in. You know, I don't necessarily. Yet here they are now at 4-1 with, you know, important NFC wins under their belt. What do you make of this Bears team?
So I'll tell you this also, a retroactive win for the Colts. I'm like, this team does is get field goals. Well, the Bucs just did the same thing, albeit a very banged up Bucs team. But it does show that this Bears defense still pretty good. So you give the Bears that. Nick Foles, this is what he does. Finds a way to win games. It's what he does. Like, people don't like it. You don't just fall backwards into a Super Bowl MVP. I don't care what anybody says. And I'll say this as well. The reason I didn't bet last night's game, and I didn't put physical dollars down. You wanted my pick. It was Bucs -3.5 with confidence.
Right.
But as the day grew older, and I had to listen to people say, you don't think Brady's going to have extra revenge on the mind with Super Bowl 52? thinking about playing Nick Foles and what? It pissed me off. It pissed me off. The idea that Brady would just see Foles on the other end and be like, that guy took a Super Bowl away from me. I'm going
to
route this.
I got to get even with him on week 5, Thursday Night Football. Stick it
like,
to him.
The game already has its own, like, its own importance. You're playing another 3-1 NFC opponent. And it just annoyed me to the degree that I'm like, I'm not getting to the window, and I won't bet against Nick Foles, who the last – because now I was like, ah, the last time these teams played, Nick Foles treated me right. I'm not going to do it again, and I was glad I didn't do that. But here we are, though, and this is to your point, Dane. They're 4-1. They don't even need to really be good the rest of the way, albeit a super unsustainable 4-1 with – you know,
they go 500 the rest of the way. They're staring at 9-7 with 7 teams in the NFC. Yeah. They're home free. Like, do I think they're going to win the division over Green Bay? No, I don't. Do I think their schedule gets harder? Yes, I do. Do I think they were a little bit of a fugazi in September because of the nature of how the wins came? Yes. But guess what? You are what your record says you are. And the Bears are 4-1. And, you know, and their defense, you know, is an above average defense, and maybe Nick Foles can game manage. You know, like, I don't think this is like, I am not gonna bet them, like, if they make the playoffs to win a playoff game. No,
fine,
right? But maybe they are just mediocre enough in this context where there's a rough middle and for the entire league that they're gonna go 9-7 or something like that.
And I think for a lot of people, if I forced you, Dane, to give me your top 8 defenses in the league, their last two opponents make the cut. So here's the thing for the Bears. Next week, extra rest to Carolina, who oddly, you know, could be 3-2 entering that game. Who knows?
That's right.
They're playing the Falcons this week. Okay. They win that game. Okay. And I think they'll be favored to do so. Not positive. They're 5-1. I mean, at that point, right? And I don't disagree with you. Who cares what the schedule becomes? Who cares? You just got to steal a game, basically, and you're going to be at the minimum 9-7, if not 10-6. And who knows, Dane? If they start to figure things out and gain more confidence, they might be 11-5.
Yeah.
Like the Packers' next game is against this Bucs team, who might get a little bit healthier in Tampa Bay. So the Bears, to say they save their season sounds outrageous because it wouldn't have been shot. But they 100% just altered the outlook that I, you, and probably themselves had.
Yes. Do I think it still will, you know, regress to the mean a little bit? I do. But with every win they stack up, even with that regression, they still land in a decent spot. The last thing I'll say about this is Allen Robinson has to be treated as a wide receiver 1 moving forward, 10 for 90. And the target share has been huge. Like, this is Davante Adams kind of target share, right? Because after him, what, Cordarrelle Patterson, Jimmy Graham, the running back, Anthony Miller has not performed. The kid Mooney was a kind of a one-hit wonder, but this is Allen Robinson in this passing attack. If you're looking for a midseason fantasy trade and a guy to kind of, you know, buy on who maybe you don't believe in the name value, Allen Robinson is a wide receiver 1, period. End of statement. Okay. Go ahead.
Let me speak to this quickly. I know, but I just want to say this, okay? One of the greatest lies ever told was that the Eagles lost football games because Carson Wentz only threw the ball to Zach Ertz, and then Foles was coming in and spreading it around. Except Foles was throwing the ball to Zach Ertz more often than Wentz was, okay? It's just people taking shots at
Wentz. He's got his favorite guy.
Yeah, because Foles throws the ball to his best option at an outrageous rate. So guess what? Yeah. A-Rob's 16 targets is actually a sustainable thing if you think they're especially going to be behind in games.
I agree with you. That's why I brought it up. I do believe it's sustainable. Believe in it, right? I say it all the time. In the early season, we're looking for what's real, what's fake. I'm here to say that target share is real, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's move on, though, because, Kev, what's also real is the scares in the NFL this week. Yeah. And over the last couple of days, this is around when we started to get information. So just to reset the deck, okay, and I'm saying the next three words I say are very important. As of now, right? What we've learned is New England and Denver is moved to Monday Night Football. Okay, we're going doubleheader again. It looks like they're once again trying to give the Patriots, you know, a window here, a runway here to prove that they have the no positive test. That's exactly what they tried to do with the Patriots last week. And then Stephon Gilmore tested positive. But as of now, that is scheduled to be Monday Night Football, part of week five. Although at last check, they haven't reposted any of the board, any of the numbers there on FanDuel. Also, as of now, the Tennessee Titans and the Buffalo Bills, their game is set right now for Tuesday and part of week five still, okay? So if this goes on, although, Kev, I think you're playing with fire if you're going to start Bills or Titans because you have no move left. If all of a sudden there's a positive on Sunday afternoon, right, and they're like, oh, wait, we actually can't do this now, and you'd be null and void. I don't know if I go to Bills or Titans on my fantasy rosters, but as of now, that game is on Tuesday and part of week five. Now there's another ripple effect, okay? Because as I mentioned to you earlier in the week, the Buffalo Bills were already scheduled for week six to go against the Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday Night Football. Well, if the Bills' week five game goes on Tuesday, they can't sack up and turn around and play the Chiefs 48 hours later. So that game has been pushed to next week, outside of Thursday, on Sunday, I believe, as part of week six, okay? However, Kev, I emphasize, as of now. And just to throw something else on this, I mean, we've had concerns of COVID, of wildfires, of air quality. And I also want to note for people, Monday Night Football this week, Saints Chargers is up in the air, not necessarily because of COVID or if the game is going to be played, but there's a hurricane bearing down on the Gulf Coast that may compromise the ability of the Superdome to be operational come Monday night. So there's a chance that this game could be moving. It says right now we're hopefully staying, but we'll see when the hurricane hits, because the key words here, Kev, are as of now. What do you think about these moving puzzle pieces? We got a minute.
Forget what I think. We do have updates. As of now, Pat's tests have come back all negative. So as of now,
great.
We are on track to play that game Monday.
Great news.
Significantly more important, the Titans results also negative. So
great news.
Finally, a day great of news. Good news in the NFL. That is what we were waiting on. That's what we were hoping to see. So this morning, the NFL, some good news.
Absolutely. Good news. We just have to keep our fingers crossed, because one day doesn't necessarily mean tomorrow, but that is absolutely good news. Kev, now that we clear those decks, when we move on, it's a Football Friday on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, welcome back in, everybody. Right here onto the early line, Dane and Kevin. We were kind of resetting the deck, right, with what's going on in Tennessee, what's going on in New England, right, the impact on the Bills, right? But let's not forget, there was a Raider that tested positive this week. We're wondering about the Chiefs, who had a practice squad player in Jordan Tamu, who, you know, is dapping up Stephon Gilmore within the incubation period of this disease ago. And so let's talk about the Raiders and the Chiefs. And Kev, that's a game on the board. It's been on the board all week. It's 11.5 points. Kev, I feel like I can't touch this game, because I got no idea still what's going to come my way. I got no idea still the mental makeup of these teams in a tough division matchup between teams over 500.
Yeah, that is the weirdest thing about this game, is that with the Gilmore news and the Titans news, came a Raiders update, came a Jordan Tamu Chiefs practice squad QB update.
Yeah.
We've not heard really any. We've heard about the Chiefs, but I feel like we've heard nothing about the Raiders. It's just a little odd. Looks like the game's happening. But again, I couldn't, basically, you just said everything I was going to say. I also have no buy for this game, because what are the Chiefs? Are the Chiefs every other week? Or do they just only show up if their opponent, if they go, ah, right, I guess we got to respect this team, let's blitz them. Because, like, can they beat the Raiders by 11.5? They could beat this team by 35.5. They really can.
Yeah.
Their offense is that good.
Yeah.
The Raiders' defense does not look great. But like, I don't know. I don't know their men, which is so annoying because the one thing I said about this team, I was like, the one thing they can fix is they can start out of the gate hot. And week one, I was like, you genius, you. Look at them coming out, scoring all these points right away. And then week two, they were like, Herbert. Like, they were just asleep. And then they saw the Ravens, and they were like, yeah. Blitz them, blitz them. And I'm like, oh, okay, they're going to do that to the Pats. And then they were like, Bryant. Like, they didn't care. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this team wants to do. I don't really want to take 11.5. Maybe I'm supposed to take 11.5. I don't even know what to do with the total. I'm annoyed by this game. I lean Chiefs.
All right. Fair enough. Like, listen, Kev, you know, in the middle of the week when we do the segment, like, watch out for the hook on some of these games that could move. Like, this, for a completely different set of circumstances, is like a watch out for the hook kind of game. Because this thing, who knows where it moves? Who knows? You're right. But listen, not if there's more tests that come out in the next 24 hours also, right? And those teams on the West Coast may report them a little bit later. But we got 10 other games to discuss. Hour two, Football Friday. Vamos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.